Islam International. As I said, we are speaking to Hafiz Ibrahim Musa now as we look at what are the talking points that make up or are shaping the Hajj talk that's taking place, and it's Hajj 1443. Hafiz Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Isha.
So this is our first post-COVID Hajj, and I'm sure that it's invoked quite a bit of emotion and sort of everybody getting excited at the same time to either being chosen to go or those who just feel grateful that that everything's been opened up again.
Oh, absolutely. And Anissa, that fact is obviously, every year there's something that defines the Hajj experience. Unfortunately, sometimes before perhaps it was a tragedy that took place during the Hajj or a war that was occurring around that time or whatever difficulty, good news or bad news occurred around that time. This year is, as you rightly mentioned, that being characterized by the fact that it is going to be the first Hajj with much less restrictions compared to the previous years. And let's just look quickly at how we got here. It was 2019, where many people would remember the last in inverted commas normal Hajj that took place. Mm-hmm. The normal numbers around 2.5 million, but with the onset of the pandemic, that dropped drastically to only 1,000 pilgrims in 2020. That was only from inside Saudi Arabia. There was progress last year when that went up to 60,000, but again, still people within Saudi Arabia. So with disappointment, people not sure when they would get this opportunity to perform Hajj again. It was with much happiness that the news in April was greeted that Saudi Arabia will now allow 1 million Muslims to perform Hajj this year. Obviously, the COVID element is not gone completely. We're not back to the 2019 or older levels. And with that comes the restrictions of pilgrims having to be under the age of 65 and still having to be vaccinated and having taken PCR tests and the rest. And again, we have to look at this in context for the quotas that are in place in different countries mm-hmm. around the world. So while initially the quota for foreign pilgrims was closer to the 2 million mark, here we have this year the actual percentage of foreign Muslims who will be performing Hajj are only at about 45%, about half of their original quota. So still, overall, this is something that's treated with much happiness and anticipation. But I think the biggest heartbreak for many, despite the good news this year, is I think going to be to do with older people and the fact that many people who've collected and saved up for years are out of the running this year and still have no indication when things will be opened up for them.
That's really a sad state. But looking at that, many people may have saved to go for Hajj, but with the way things are in the world right now, with food costs soaring, fuel prices soaring, what does the Hajj package price look like?
So the Hajj package prices have increased literally in every country around the world, inside Saudi Arabia itself, and every Muslim majority country, and people coming from the West as well. The factors that are being called into question here for the increase in the prices is inflation worldwide, firstly, and the factors such as the war in Ukraine, etc., just added to all of this. Then you've got taxes in Saudi Arabia. It's tripled its VAT rate. And regarding the Hajj itself, the Saudi government has put some mandatory logistics services which Hajj operators around the world who are facing flak from their consumers are saying that the Saudis are saying are absolutely non-negotiable. So to give you a feel of this, inside Saudi Arabia, Hajj only packages, so this excludes Makkah, Medina, and external transportation, your lowest is starting at around 40,000. These are just for the days of Hajj. South African rand, and the highest is around 60,000. So that's the baseline, and you add all the rest to it. I'm looking at prices also from India. You'd be paying for a government package, the baseline 60,000, for Pakistan about 80,000. And what hasn't helped this in some of these Muslim majority countries or countries with huge Muslim populations is that the governments have cancelled the Hajj subsidies, which makes it harder for the consumers. And the lack of air transportation and land transportation in all of these packages. We've seen the effects of this, Nisa, in South Africa, which would probably be the same around the world. People had to scramble, even if they had savings and perhaps the money was already in the system, they had to add up on that because of the last minute increases. For the Hajj operators, they've had to try and much harder to fill up Hajj quotas. And an interesting spin-off from this that's going to be watched, I think, eagerly by Hujjaj and operators is, with paying more, the expectations are higher. And how is that going to pan out this year with people feeling that perhaps they've got a bit of a tough deal when it came to finances? Are the services going to be on par?
Although services look quite good. I mean, I've been looking at some of the, looking at how they've digitized so much and also the refurbishments that they've done in Mina. It's all looking good, but it may look good to us on the outside, but there are people who have been booking to go, and particularly those in European countries, the UK. For them, it's been a nightmare and so much of heartbreak.
Yes, it's been absolutely devastating. And if you have to look at this in context of the fact that this is supposed to be that breakthrough Hajj after two years of difficulty. Unfortunately for the European Western pilgrim, it doesn't seem to be the case. And just to take us very quickly through this, it's been a big story all over the wires in the last month. But so much has happened within a period of a month. A huge announcement like this, just a month ago, Saudi Arabia announces that it's cutting out the middleman and travel agents who usually were instrumental in facilitating packages like we have here in South Africa, were not going to be given second fiddle. They were not now permitted anymore to facilitate the Hajj in any way. This, despite the fact that they had advertised packages and collected monies until that period in time. The substitute for that was Saudi Arabia releasing what we call the Matawif system for pilgrims applying from Western countries, and they were entered into a draw, and the chosen few would be able to make Hajj to the Holy Land. Now this, just look at the timeline. On June the 6th, they make the announcement for cutting the agents out, and on the 13th of June, already people are required to complete their applications. So what were they up to, or what were they up against in the last 2 or 3 weeks? They first had to get their fees back from agents that they had paid. Not all were so successful in getting back so quickly. Then the system itself, full of glitches. There were unprotected transactions. Apparently the user testing seemed to be non-existent or not strong enough. And thereafter, after the applications were approved, their payment was pending, people selected travel dates, prices doubled afterwards, no visas were issued, and all of this happening just days before Hajj begins. If people were successful, the question thereafter was, were they able to get the flexibility that they required, packages that meet their needs, dates that meet their needs? That didn't seem to be the case. And people who then somehow made it through all of this, when they came to the airport, there were cases where they were told there were no flights. Then others who were a bit more successful and made it to Saudi Arabia found that they had no hotel rooms, or they were given hotel rooms with strangers, non-mahrams, non-family members, and the rest. So according to so many judges who've been speaking out against this on social media and to the media, they say that this has put them through much, much unneeded stress this year. So looking forward again on the overall theme of this year's Hajj 1443, the question is it going to get any better for these pilgrims for the remainder of this Hajj? That's an area to watch. And also, are we going to see from Saudi Arabia and the Mutawif system in this year and going forward next year? Any improvements, taking into consideration the disaster that this has been? And a big question again for Saudi Arabia and the way it operates itself, will there be any accountability?
Absolutely. I think listening, we had Sister Mariam from the UK speak to us on, I think it was Thursday morning or Wednesday morning yesterday, and the nightmare that they're going through, it's really, really terrible, especially when you see the number of people that have been affected. Jazakallah khair for your time, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on this as we go forward.
Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.